Expecting great things. I hope you're believing God for healing, deliverance, freedom for yourself and others around you. I hope you're believing God for that. And Saturday's going to be a busy day, huh? We're going to need lots of people participating in the work day and the garbage pickup on the highway. So plan to be a part of that. We're going to need, Katie could always use about 20 people out there picking up garbage. That's a lot better than two, huh? Yeah, you could do that in a couple hours with 20 people or less. And it's fun to grab a partner and a bag and just walk up and down the ditch lines visiting and picking up trash. There's some interesting things you find out there. It's geocaching at a whole new level right there. And then the guys working on the building. So it's going to be great. Hey, we're in this series called Rise Up. We've talked about Peter's restoration. We've talked about the four T's of stewardship and our authority and dominion. Last week we talked about we have God in us, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and that's everything we need personally, and it's everything that other people need around us. Peter and John, on their way to prayer that day, saw the lame man, and they said, you know, I don't have any silver and gold, but what I do have I'm going to give to you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. We have resources, folks, and we have ability. We're talking about what does the resurrection of Jesus do for us in 2015? What does it do for us right here and right now? How is that supposed to impact our life and affect our life? And today we're talking about warriors. This is a good old sermon about winning battles and being strong. And the resurrection of Jesus gives you and I the ability to win. You don't have to win, but you can win. Nobody's going to force you to win, but the ability to win, the opportunity to win, is with us. Because Jesus is with us and the resurrection of Jesus. There's notes in all of your folders, and we're going to be dealing with those and trying to stick to those a little better today. And it may not happen, we don't know. Recently, I was praying about the battles going on right here at the Life Center. And some of you are experiencing big battles in your life, and I think as a church, we're experiencing battles. And in my prayer times, I'm praying for you and praying for the church and praying to know what the will of God is and the mind of God is for us and what is God doing and what does God want us to do. We're just praying those kinds of prayers all the time. And as I was doing that, I really got the sense that we are engaged in a lot of battles here at the Life Center. Battles with our health. Anybody have any battles with your health? Like lift my foot up in the air. Yeah. Your spiritual life? Anybody having battles in your spiritual life? Just kind of feels dull and lifeless, and you're not where you want to be, and you know there's more, and you're not able to get there for some reason. Maybe you're feeling huge temptations and things drawing you away from God. Battles in our relational life. It could be in our families, our friendship. It could be neighbors. It could be just relational battles. Instead of having peace, and instead of having unity, instead of having harmony, instead of being supportive of one another and a strength to each other, it's like there's a battle all the time. Isn't it a bummer to battle all the time like that? I hate it. Sometimes we're battling in our emotional life. Like, I don't know what's wrong, but I just feel right about stuff, you know, and we can just, our emotional life can be all messed up. Usually the girls cry and the guys are full of anger. It's usually the way it goes. It can go the opposite way, though, too. Guys can cry and girls can be full of anger. Don't point at anybody. In your ministry, sometimes you're just facing battles. God, what am I supposed to do? I don't know what to do next. I don't know how to get the breakthrough. I don't know how to get past where I'm at right now. I don't know how to get effective and fruitful. I don't know how to do that. What am I even supposed to do in ministry? And around here, we believe everybody has a ministry. Everybody has a calling. Everybody has an anointing on their life. We should all engage that in our world, in our society, and in the kingdom of God. We should be engaging those things. But there's battles against ministry, too. There's battles against your strength. You ever feel just tired? Sick and tired, or just tired, wore out, demotivated, no energy. There's battles. I really feel like Satan has taken some big swings at us and trying to knock us down, trying to make us victims, trying to weaken us. Anybody feel like Satan's taken some big swings at you or people that you know? Taking a big swing. Have you ever had somebody take a big swing at you? I like the big swing because I can see the haymaker coming, you know, I like that. It's that little jab that hits me in the chin that bums me out, you know, but those big swings, you can see them coming a little bit. I feel like the enemy's taking some big swings at us, trying to knock us down, trying to knock us out, trying to take us into a place of weakness and confusion instead of where we should be. Many of the battles are intense. There's a lot at risk when you're in a battle. I really believe destiny is at risk. My destiny, your destiny, your family's destiny, the church's destiny, this generation's destiny is at risk with these battles. You guys know we have an enemy, right? You know, yeah, that's pretty obvious, I hope. And we're supposed to win this battle. We're going to win this battle. I felt like God was saying, even though the enemy was trying to make us a victim and trying to weaken us, that instead we would not become victims, we would not become weakened, but we would become warriors. You know, how many of you can understand a battle-hardened warrior? How would you like to be that? I would like to be that without the battle, please. I would like to be a successful, experienced, battle-hardened warrior without the battle. But those are called rookies. Those are called, you know, at-risk people because they don't know. I've never been at war. I've never been a soldier. But I've watched a movie. I've read books. I used to have little army men, you know, and little. What I know is that the rookie doesn't normally win the battles as easily as the hardened warrior. If people are going to line up behind somebody, we would rather line up behind the hardened warrior, wouldn't we? I would. I would. God wants to make you and I these battle-hardened warriors. What's cool is the enemy is trying to take you out, but he's not going to win. He's not going to be able to. We're reading the book of Job right now in our daily Bible reading. Did Job have a battle? He had a battle, and this morning, could you turn me down a little, Kirsten? We're still getting that ringy, ringy, dingy out there. He had a battle, and then his friends come and say, you must have done something really bad, and if you just fix that, all your problems would go away. And instead of being an encourager and a support, they became an accuser. And Job had three or four friends like that, didn't he? The rest of the book of Job, right up until the last two chapters, is not fun to read, is it? When I looked at it's the book of Job in May, I don't like reading the book of Job. I like the first two chapters, and I like the last two chapters. If they just skip the middle, that'd be really cool. But in the middle, all of his friends are accusing him, and they're badgering back and forth about why the bad things are happening. And they end up fighting each other instead of fighting the enemy that's causing the problem. That's a bummer when you fight the wrong battle, huh? So God's saying, I'm not going to let Satan take you out. That's good news. That's good news. I'm not going to let Satan take you out. He wants to victimize you, and he wants to weaken you, but I'm going to cause you to come out of this as a warrior. And you're going to learn to war well. You're going to learn to war against the real enemy and get the real victory and come out of this with lessons that are going to serve you well, not only in today's battle, but in the battles of your future. Because you know what? If you win today's battle, it's not over. There's another one coming, right? Until Jesus comes, we're going to have to keep fighting some battles. But we're going to win those things and not lose those things. We'll come out of it even stronger and even more determined to win. There's some battles, it's like piece of cake. Been there, done that. I know how to win this battle. And the enemy doesn't even hardly tempt me or fight me in some of those areas anymore. But there's a few battles I've not learned to win so well, and he's still turning up the pressure in those areas. And I'm going to have to learn how to win those battles. So when the battle intensifies, you and I need to rise up. You can wimp out, or you can rise up. You can become a victim, and you can become weak, or you can rise up. Because Jesus resurrected and gave us his power, we can rise up. It's not easy. It's not fun. But we can rise up. I preached a sermon a while back called In It to Win It. And you're already in it. You might as well be in it to win it. I don't like fights. I don't pick fights. But if I happen to end up in a fight, I'm going to be in it to win it. My dad and mom, they're not here today. Mom's preaching up in Pierce this morning. But dad was the kind of guy that he was easygoing, never ever picked a fight. But if you forced him into a fight, he was going to win the fight. If you ganged up on him, he would find an equalizer and win the fight. And I'm kind of that way with the enemy. Why don't we just win the fight? We do have an equalizer. He's a little older than you, and he's a little more battle-hardened than you are, but he's not more battle-hardened than Jesus is. And he's not as strong as Jesus is. And you and I can win our battles. We can. Sometimes you just got to shake yourself and rise up and say, I'm going to win this thing. I am in it to win it. I'm going to win. There was a little fight last night I heard. I didn't watch it, but heard there was a little boxing match last night, you know, and both of those guys were in it to win it. Was it Mayweather? He ended up winning it. I guess he held on better than the other guy. I don't know. I didn't watch the fight. I read some of the reviews this morning. I hope you're in it to win it. Have you ever seen a fight where somebody wasn't in it to win it? They just kind of cover up and run away and call mom or whatever. Be in it to win it. Here's the big question. How do we win? If I'm in it to win it, how am I going to win? Well, you never win by quitting. How many of you know that's true? Nobody's ever won by quitting. You can't quit. You can't roll over and wet on yourself. You ever see a dog do that? So he's not in it to win it. He's saying, no more, please, I give up. You know? That's a bummer. You and I, that wasn't in my notes, but you and I should be in it to win it. People on the CD are going, what was he doing? You should be glad that you're on the CD and not in person here right now. Warriors never quit, they endure. We're going to read some verses here in Timothy where Paul's telling this young man, there are some battles to fight, but you are well equipped to win these battles. And he just encourages him and empowers him to go out and win some of those battles. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy. This wasn't a warm, fuzzy suggestion. This was a charge. This was an order. This was a strong directive. I'm committing this to you according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. God has some things to say about you. Now, Timothy was actually in an environment where some people actually prophesied into his life. They spoke the words of God into his life directly. They had words of knowledge and words of wisdom that they spoke into his life. And God said, I'm going to do this for you, Timothy, and I'm going to give you this gift, Timothy, and I'm going to empower you, Timothy, and I'm going to use you in this way, Timothy. And those prophecies were empowering. They were encouraging. And Paul told Timothy, I want you to wage a good warfare. And you're going to do that by the words that God says about you. Now, there's words other people say about me. They do not help me wage a good warfare. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're never going to make it. You're such a loser, blah, 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 right? And if I listen to those words, I will not wage a good warfare. There's people that accuse, there's people that tear down and belittle and degrade and all of that. If you listen to those words, they don't help you wage a good warfare. But I guarantee you, if you listen to the words that God says about you, you can and will wage the good warfare. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy here. Son Timothy, wage a good warfare. You can do this. You can do this. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who's enlisted him as a soldier. And if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So we have to endure. I guess the verse ahead of that says that we endure. Therefore, you must endure hardship as a good soldier, verse 3 says, of Jesus Christ. If you're going to win wars, if you're going to win battles, somebody will probably poke you in the nose, but you got to endure that. Somebody's going to sweep your legs, but you have to endure that. Somebody's going to call you names, but you have to endure that. You have to endure hardship as a good soldier. Endure that. Rise up. Come on, Timothy. And he's saying that to you and I today. Come on, rise up. Endure hardship. If you're going to be a good soldier and engage in this warfare and win this war, you cannot entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. You've got to live on a little bit higher plane. You've got to think a little bit differently about what's happening with you, in your world. You can't just think that it's carnal. You can't just think that it's personal. You can't just think that it's just a family thing or just a health thing or just a generational thing. You got to think a little bit higher than that. You can't entangle yourself with the affairs of this world and this life. And I think the Lord wants to emphasize to you and I right now that we would think on a little higher plane about what's happening to us. It's not the family. It's not our health. It's not because we're 53. It's not because. It's not that. The enemy is fighting us war with you. Fight the good fight. Endure hardship. Win this thing. You can do it. Don't quit because you're old. Don't quit because your genetics. Don't quit because your generational thing. Do not quit and think that it's just my family and the dysfunctions. Do not engage and entangle yourself with those kinds of thoughts. Because if it's my family, if it's my genetics, if it's because I'm 50-something-something, if it's because of I'm sick and I have a disease, if it's because of my generation, then I'm a victim and I'm helpless and I'm hopeless. But if it's the enemy waging a war against me, I know Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead so I could win the war. Amen? So how you think about it makes a huge difference, whether you're a warrior or a victim. And God wants us to rise up. There's some areas of life, some arenas, I'm champion warrior. I've whipped Satan's butt several times in that arena. And he won't even get in the ring anymore with me. But there's a few arenas, he's in the middle, and he's going, come on, you want some more? And I'm going, I don't think so. But I need to jump in there and whip you somehow. I got whipped last time. Round 3, round 14, round 892. I don't know what round it is, but we got to get in there and knock that booger out. We got to get in there and win the battle. And you can't win it because you're so cool. You can't win it because you're so smart. You can't win it because you got money or good looks or anything else. You're going to win it because Jesus Christ is with you and Jesus Christ is in you. And again, I say, not everybody wins their battles, but they have the potential to win their battles. I have the potential to win some battles that I'm not winning right now because of Jesus. I have that potential. And I want to figure it out. How about you? I want to figure it out. How do I go from victim to warrior in that area of my life? How do I do that? Well, God, help me figure that out. Help me figure that out. We also never win by fighting the wrong battles. It's easy to get distracted and fight the wrong things. It's easy to get carnal. It's easy to get entangled in the affairs of life. It's easy to fight people. It's easy to position ourselves against other people. The Bible clearly says we do not war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places. Clearly, does anybody ever read that verse? It clearly says people are not your enemy. I don't know if we believe that, though. It's still really easy to look at you and you to look at me and go, I think if it wasn't for Kelly, and we start looking at people as our enemy, as our problem. You can't win when you fight the wrong battle. It is tempting, though. Man, lipazine, you know, and other diet pills are so tempting. It's like you don't have to change your exercise, and you don't have to change how you eat. You just take this pill a couple times a day, and you'll be healthy. You'll lose weight. That is so tempting. It's so tempting. All those infomercials on TV, that's tempting stuff. It's like, you can clean your headlights, the fog off your headlights with this product. You ever tried that? You know? It's like, you can go to Walmart now, and there's a whole row of television advertised products for you. Occasionally one works. I bought that little crinkle hose. Anybody buy the crinkle hose? It isn't called the crinkle hose, but it should be called the hose from hell or something. You know, it's what it should be called. I hope nobody gets that CD. But they talk about how convenient this hose is. It can store in your glove box, you know, and it shrivels up when you don't use it, and it expands when you use it. Have you ever tried to use that hose? It reduces the water pressure by about 180%. It's like trying to wash your car. I've tried to wash my car with that hose. What's going on? The hose keeps expanding, and it takes all the pressure to expand the hose, and very little comes out the end. Like a guy with a bad prostate or something. I don't know. Man, I should quit. Not that I would know anything about that. But it is so tempting to fight the wrong battles. It's so tempting to do the thing that you think is going to solve the thing, but it won't. The miracle product. You can't win by fighting the wrong battle. Jesus and the disciples did not war to prevent Jesus from being crucified. There was definitely everybody else on the planet that loved Jesus, that was a disciple of Jesus, thought he should not die on the cross. And they did not, but they did not fight that battle. In fact, Peter pulled out the sword, didn't he? Peter pulled out the sword, and he was a really bad swordsman. He was a really bad soldier. He took a big swing at the soldier, trying to hit him on top of the helmet, split his helmet open and kill him, you know. But he ended up whacking him on the ear. He kind of missed by 8-10 inches, you know. He ended up cutting his ear off. And Jesus had to recalibrate Peter's thinking. He actually said this phrase to Peter, "If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. Put that thing away." And he actually saved Peter's life. Because what did Jesus do? He picked up the ear off the ground, wiped the dust off it, stuck it back on the guy's head, and healed him just like it had never, ever happened. See, that's the power that Jesus has. And he said, "Peter, that's the wrong battle. Do not fight that battle that way. That's the wrong battle." How many times have you and I pulled out swords and whacked people's ears off, thinking we were doing the right thing? I don't mean literally, probably. Anybody literally? But I've swung my sword a few times. Jesus says, "Kelly, put the sword away. It's not the right battle. It's not the right battle." The battle that Jesus came to war this time is inside our hearts and our souls. Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is within you." There's coming a day when he'll fight the society battle and he'll win. You know, how many of you know that Jesus is not winning the societal battle today? Anybody guess that? He's not winning the battle in society today. In America, he's not winning the battle. But you know what? He's not trying to win the battle of society. He's trying to win the battle in your heart. And we win this battle one person at a time, one heart at a time. And that's Jesus' plan. Jesus says, "Kelly, let me help you win your internal battles. And if I can win enough hearts and internal battles and help people singularly enough, society will change and shift. But I'm not going to fight the battle externally. I'm going to fight the battle inside." So sometimes we're fighting the wrong battle. We should fight this battle for people's hearts and people's souls, because that's the real battle today. Man, I could say a lot more about that. We win this war one person at a time, and we have to start with us. Are you winning your internal battle? I know some of you would go, no, I'm not. Well, why don't we today start winning our internal battle? Why don't we do that? Can we just stop for a minute and just ask God? Would you do that with me? Just say, God, I want to win the internal battle inside of me. I want to fight the right fight. And I want to win. I don't want to be a victim anymore. I don't want to be weak. I want to be strong. Jesus, help me overcome every temptation. Help me overcome every wound that is inside of me. Help me overcome every adversary that has penetrated my heart and tried to kill me from the inside out. Jesus, cause your resurrection power to bring life to the dead places of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And I just encourage you to win that battle inside you. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, sometimes you're trying to help somebody with the sliver that's in their eyeball, and you got this big old plank in your eyeball. I think that's where Jesus was saying, the battle is internal inside of you. Work on that. Win that war. Win that war. And if you and I could win our internal war, wouldn't the world be a better place? Wouldn't our families be better? Wouldn't our church be better if we could win that battle? Yeah. So today we war. Jesus resurrected so we could win the war. And our war is a war for individual freedom, salvation, and wholeness. It's a war inside of you. It's a war designed to give us victory over sin, victory over the wounds of our past, and victory over the plans of the enemy to disrupt your future. I want to just let you focus for a few seconds on those three things. Victory over sin. Victory over the wounds of your past. Do you realize that if Satan can't get you to sin and kill you that way, then he'll try to kill you by wounds in your heart. Wounds from your past that just haunt you, that you can't forgive and you can't let go of. You never get them resolved. And then you'll end up sinning because of the wounds in your heart. And all of that, both of those things move into him disrupting your future. I just want to disrupt their future. I want to destroy their destiny. I want to move them off of God's plan for their life. I want to get them out of their anointing, out of their giftings, out of the power that God wants for them. I want to move them out of that so that the church is weak, they're weak, their family's weak, every generation after them is weakened, and that's what I want to do, disrupt the future. We can win that battle, though. And it starts with us, though, in our own heart. We can win that battle. Jesus will fight the societal war at his second coming, but that's not our war today. We are warriors, warriors of the heart, warriors of the soul. Let's win those wars. Are you helping others win their internal wars too? Man, when I was writing this week, I was just thinking, do I help people win their internal wars? Or do I create more wars for them? Do I create more problems for them? I mean, we're reading the book of Job. Were these guys going to help Job? Are they creating more war for him? I just thought the best part of the book of Job was that, how many, was it 7 days of silence that they sat with him? Was it 7 days? I thought that was the smartest thing they did. The first 7 days, I'm just going to be there for him and hang out with him. But after 7 days, they're going, I can't stand it anymore. I got to tell you, you're so screwed up. That's why you're having problems. Are we helping others? I just thought, how awesome would it have been for them just to have encouraged Job until the trial and the test was over? It was just a test. It was just a trial. You're going to have those too. And why don't we support each other and love each other during the test and the trial instead of jump on the I hate Kelly bandwagon or whoever happens to be the target at the moment, you know? Why can't we do that? I hate Job bandwagon or I'm going to fix Job here. Make sure you're not being used by the enemy or you're just unaware and you end up wounding others and are guilty of friendly fire. You ever think the church has friendly fire? You ever heard about that in wars? We've heard a lot about it recently, in the last decade or so, friendly fire. Tillman was one of the guys, you know, big NFL star, went to fight for his country and got killed by friendly fire. It's tragic. It's sad. Nobody really wants it. I wonder, do you think Jesus was killed by friendly fire? You remember the prayer he prayed, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing? If they knew, they probably wouldn't do this. Sometimes our prayer should be, God, would you just make me a little more aware so I can fight the right battle, not the wrong battle. Don't judge people too harshly. Don't add to their war. Let's be each other's ally. Jump in the foxhole with them. I really love you just to jump in the foxhole with me. You know, bring a granola bar or something too. You know, bring an Uzi, 50 cal, I don't know, grenade launcher or something, and some food. Just hang out in the foxhole with me. Why don't we do that? That'd be cool. Make sure you use your warrior skills against the enemy and not against each other. Does anybody have any warriors in your family that, are they a little edgy? Josh is a little edgy, you know? He's 6 years Air Force and went through all the training, you know? And if you startle Josh, you're in big trouble. He could jump up and whoop you real quick. You should stand way back to wake him up and startle him. You know, send him a spider video or something. I did that this week. He hates spiders. But there's warriors. You don't want to startle them. You don't want to startle them because they've got quick warrior reflexes that could end up hurting you. Make sure you use your warrior skills against the enemy and not each other. Reminds me of Mom. I don't have time for a story. Okay, Romans chapter 7. Verse 23 says, there's an inward battle, but Jesus will deliver you. Remember what Paul said in Romans 7? The things I want to do, I don't end up doing. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. What's going on inside of me? There's this war. Who's going to deliver me from this war? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. I'm going to get deliverance from that. Ephesians 6:12 says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I talked about that. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We have the right weapons to win, folks. Ephesians 6:10-18 says we have weapons and armor that enable us to stand and to win. We are in a war. Rise up. The war is internal and spiritual. Rise up. The warrior can win. Be a warrior and win. Go ahead and rise up. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Rise up, get the freedom that Jesus came and died and resurrected to give you. Amen? Amen. I'm going to be quiet and let Arby talk.